Hello, welcome to Rebuilding Bruins. We got to do this again because for some reason yesterday didn't turn out right. So we're doing it again. Yeah, so we're going to be talking a lot of the same things that we did yesterday. So for those who like tuned in yesterday, you get a little bit of a double dose. So we're going to be talking along the same themes if that's where the Lord is leading, because this is unscripted, raw, uncensored. We're just gonna let it go, let it go. Let the love inside you show. Okay, guys. You know, let me just make sure I'm good on my platforms. My husband's gonna be sharing this a dream he had that was... It had me a little bit shook, just because it was like, it was funny because the Lord's been dealing with us on the same thing, but separately. You know, he's been working a lot and I'm with the kids. And by the time we get home, by the time he gets home, we're just like not even trying to talk to each other. We're just like,
these are crazy runs.
Hi, bye.
70 hour weeks. She's working the same, you know, grinding with this and
So by the time that we get to talk, you know, it's just
work, weather, bed,
the essentials of life. But anyways, it's not going to go, I guess. I don't know. We'll see. I don't know. I'm trying things. Okay. How about we start off in prayer and we'll jump into it. Okay. Dear Lord, we thank you for this time. Lord, utilize our mouth. Just have your way. Father, we just ask that your power and your presence would be made manifest while we talk, while we speak, Father, that it will not be our agenda, but yours and yours alone, Father. May we relay your heart to those around us, Father. And Father, we just ask that walls would come tumbling down, seed would go into fertile soil in Jesus' name. And all God said,
Amen.
You know, we're in Savannah, Georgia. Savannah. So I feel like I got to talk, as Andy Bernard says, like molasses is pouring out of my mouth. But anyways, dang, my eyes itching. I was going to go ahead and let you share. We're like sitting real close together because we're going to share this mic.
We're in one mic formation.
Okay. So I'm going to go ahead and let you share your dream, because it's been going along the same lines that I've been talking about. And I've been really feeling like the Lord is hammering hard. You guys, I'm itching my eyeball talking to you.
Live TV.
I'm not editing this out. You know how much work it takes to edit, and it's not like I don't like it, but it's just finding the time to do it. So that's why I really just like the lives. And if my kids come chomping down the stairs, it is what it is. Anyways, it's been going along the same vein of shame and guilt. And I really feel like the Lord is really wanting to tear the walls down, like completely rip down the mindsets and the practices that we have in place regarding guilt and shame, because it is so paralyzing. It withholds his people from our identity. Yeah. It keeps us from knowing who he is. It actually alters our view of who God is. Shame and guilt makes us, puts this filter on who God is. It puts a veil up between us and him. So then we see him as this judgmental, condemning God that hates us, that is sick and tired of hearing from us, you know, that is just not long suffering. And that's not what the Bible talks about him as. It says that he delights in mercy, that he's compassionate and slow to anger, that he is, you know, that he's full of love, that he is always willing to gather us, as he said to the Israelites, to get how I long to gather you like a hen, you know, and And so these are the things that God describes, being gentle and lowly and our advocate. So when we are entangled in guilt and shame, we do not see God in this way. So I was going to go ahead and let him share his dream because I felt like it was like so good. So go ahead, boo. I'm going to let you just, you know, take over the mic. All you right do then. You. Right, you jump
in. Jump in. Well, when God made us youth pastors, and when I say youth pastors, we don't have a church, but we have 10 kids. Mm-hmm. We're youth pastors, and he speaks to us.
I birthed our ministry.
It's true. But you know, he made us youth pastors. And so I dream sometimes, but I almost never remember them. And this one, I felt so clearly the Lord speaking to me. And I remember, I like woke up and I could clearly remember it. And I remember telling Amina, but in this dream I had, I was speaking to a body of young people. And I just remember in my time of preparation leading up, the Lord was saying, call them Nehemiahs. And for you, for those of you who don't know, Nehemiah is the one who was sent to rebuild the walls of Jerusalem.
And that's my brother's name. So if that's he's true. Ever watching, shout out.
And so, yeah. So he said, call them Nehemiahs to this group of believers. Mm. And more than that, he said, call their parents Cyruses, mm-hmm. who, again, if some of you guys don't know from that story, the Israel was in Babylonian captivity and Persian captivity, because they had conquered Babylon. And the time had come where the Lord said, it's time to go back. And Cyrus actually funded the build. He sent protection from, you know, other kingdoms coming against Israel, lots of different things. But basically the way I interpret it is the children, the kids, the students are the builders. This generation, it's this generation of young people right now out there. Amen. That are these builders that are going to rebuild the walls that have been torn down. Mm-hmm. And the parents are going to be the ones to walk them into the room, show them the tools that they need, fund it, partner it. That's the way the Lord wants it. That's the way the Lord does it with us. And so I was so touched by this, and I began speaking out of Luke 8, which is where Jesus is sitting there in a room with Simon the Pharisee, and he's talking with Simon, and the sinful woman walks in, who we find out a chapter later is actually Mary Magdalene, and she breaks open, she doesn't do that. She falls down at his feet and begins to worship him and kiss his feet. And she washes his feet with her tears and dries his feet with the hair of his head. And Simon's looking at it like, well, if you knew what manner of woman this was, he says he thinks to himself, if he knew what matter of woman this was, he wouldn't let her do it. Basically, if he were a prophet, he would know.
Oh.
And it says, and Jesus answered him. mm-hmm. But the Bible says he says it to himself.
Right.
But yet Jesus answered him. So he like is hearing this guy's thoughts. And he tells him this story. And he gives him this visual. And he goes, suppose there's a debtor who has two people who owe him money. And one owes him 50 denarii. We'll call it $50. And one owes him 500 denarii. We'll call it $500.
In the Bible, you know that the money.
Yeah, the denarii.
No.
Oh, the money.
So, I know, but I did see, I better get close. I did see that in the Bible that some of the money, I don't know if it's like a different type of currency, but it's called minas.
Oh, I see what you did there. All right. Okay.
I know. I got excited when Thank I saw girl. That. I was like,
oh. I got one mina.
I was like, I wonder if my name's in the Bible. And so I saw minas and I was like, wait. What? And I know it's not like Amina, but yeah. Okay, go ahead.
I hate to say it, but I'm a disciple in the Bible, but you know, anyway. So one owes him 50, one owes him 500, and he says, suppose the debtor forgave them
both. Dad jokes.
Suppose he forgave them both. Simon, which one would love him more? And Simon says, well, I suppose the one who, that's literally what it says, I suppose the one who owed him 500. And he goes, you've judged rightly.
Right.
And then he comes in with this math problem. Mm-hmm. And it's spiritual math. And it's, how do we overcome things like guilt? How do we overcome things like shame? How do we overcome these addictions in our lives, these patterns of sin in our life? And Jesus says it like this. He goes, you're right. The one who was forgiven more loves more. But to him who is forgiven little, the same loves little. And Jesus is getting at this math problem that gets at, it's like algebra. Our ability to receive his forgiveness, to realize our jacked upness and receive his forgiveness, is actually correlates with how much we're over to overcome our sin patterns and love him through obedience. Mm-hmm. It actually is our grace, mm-hmm. is being able to accept his grace, mm-hmm. that allows us to overcome these sins in our lives and love him more. Mm. And he looks at this woman who's just crying. And it says actually in Luke 9 that he had already cast 6 demons out of her. Mm-hmm. So she's coming in after having this incredible experience of deliverance with Jesus. Mm-hmm. And she's just like laying it all out there, looking, mm-hmm. foolish in front of all these, mm-hmm. people. Mm-hmm. And Jesus looks at her and he says, your faith has saved you. Mm-hmm. Your faith in what? Your faith in my mercy, mm-hmm. has saved you. Your faith in my grace. Mm-hmm. And the cross hasn't even happened yet. So what we're dealing with here is this woman who had issues. Those issues were taken care of. Mm-hmm. And her reaction to that whole thing is this extravagant love. Mm-hmm. And Jesus makes that correlation. So I'm preaching this to this body of students, and I kind of go over that and talk about that. And as I'm talking about this, I begin to speak about guilt and shame, mm-hmm. and how guilt and shame in our lives cripples our view of Christ. Mm-hmm. It cripples our view of the loving Father who loves us unconditionally and cares about us. And the way that, where am I going with this? The way that this goes, the way that the Lord, what I was saying to them was, it's the messiness of the cross, mm-hmm. that is what actually gets us past the guilt and the shame to be able to see him for who he really is and to receive his mercy. And then
keeping our eyes focused on the sacrifice,
the depth of the sacrifice, right. which was very messy. And I tell this story in this, which was coming from like a newspaper clip. Again, this is all in a dream and I'm speaking, and it's about this Mexican boy who had gotten into trouble with the cartel, mm-hmm. and the cartel, they're going to kill him. They said, we're going to kill you. That's your punishment, mm-hmm. for what you did. Mm-hmm. And the boy's father comes to them and says, let my son go and I will pay the sacrifice. Mm. I'll do it. And the son's, no, 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 no.
Because they want a payment for the offense.
Right. And the son's feeling guilty. No, 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 don't, mm-hmm. do that. And he says, no, this is my job as my father, is, mm-hmm. to protect my son. So take my life. And they agree to it. They said, all right, fine, but he's watching. And that was very, like, it struck me. Yeah. But that was part of the dream. It was, they looked at him and said, well, he's watching. Mm-hmm. And so they do this killing, and it's brutal killing. And I remember thinking, oh my God, I can't even say the details of this killing. It was just brutal. And the boy is watching his father die this way. And because of it, because of the depth and the brutality of the way they murdered this, mm-hmm. father, mm-hmm. the guilt and the shame of it all was overcome. And he was actually able to see, you know, the sacrifice, and it actually washed him. Mm. It washed all of that off of him. Mm. And I really wanted to just pound that point home is like, listen, let's think back to the cross, because the cross becomes such a buzzword to us. It becomes this, like, in Christian cultures, like, we only really talk about it once a year. You know what I mean? And really, you're right. Easter. And, but the cross is every day. The cross is every day when we get to the end of our day and we say, Lord, we missed the mark. God, forgive me, forgive me. And instead of bargaining and saying like, oh man, I did it again, or this, that, and the other thing, we believe, our faith saves us. We believe in the power of his mercy, you know, and we trust in the power of the cross over our lives. And that forgiveness and that grace hits us and washes. And instead of bargaining, we actually respond the way that woman did. And we wash his feet and we lavish our love upon him. No, that's it.
Okay. I just have to make sure. You know what? I'm going to have to send you into that bag to get the charger for laptop real quick. Maintenance time. my backup support when he's around. Okay. I think it's in that bag. Producer Drew. Producer Drew. As you could tell, we just moved, changed locations. But anyways, that when he shared that dream with me, I was like, oh, it makes so much sense. It's the simplicity of the gospel, right? And we tend to overcomplicate things because we're like, how can something be so true, right? Like, how can something so easy be so available to us? What do you mean? Like, it's like too good to be true kind of thing. So when he shared that, I was like, yeah, that makes a whole lot of sense. Guys, I was, and I want to stay on the same vein of the crucifixion. So I don't know what is wrong with me. I don't know if I'm getting like some allergies. My eyeballs itching, my neck's itching. I don't know what's going on. Anyways, okay. I was reading this and this kind of struck me. So I'm going to read about, let me see, where is he at? Here we go. Judas. Okay, so I'm reading from Matthew chapter 27, verse 3. Okay. Then Judas, his betrayer, seeing that he had been condemned, was remorseful and brought back the 30 pieces of silver to the chief priests and elders, saying, I have sinned by betraying innocent blood. Okay, so we see that he was remorseful. It says it right here in scripture. He was remorseful and so remorseful that he wanted to give them the money. He was like, okay, I made a mistake. I was clearly deceived. I made a horrible, you know, lapse in judgment. And we know that Judas was pretty money hungry because he was always dipping his little fingers into the treasury. And the Bible, you know, talks about that. And so we know that he feels so bad because we never saw him put any money back into the treasury because he felt bad. But this time he crossed a line that he cannot, you know, go back on. And they said, what is that to us? You see to it. Then he, being Judas, threw down the pieces of silver in the temple and departed and went and hanged himself. And then, you know, goes on to talk about how the priest went ahead and took the money and bought a field because they didn't feel right about putting it into the treasury because now they decide to follow the law. They pick and choose what they want to follow. But here's the thing that is so interesting about Judas. You know, first of all, he's forever marked in scripture and passed down from generation to generation as being what? His betrayer. And yet we see he feels bad about this. What would have happened if he did not? And I talked earlier on my social media that I felt like the Lord was giving me this picture about us mutilating our hearts. When yeah. we give in to guilt and shame, we are mutilating ourselves. And we see the weight of what guilt and shame can drive a person to do. We see it all the time. You know, it can drive people to run away. It drives people to quit. It drives people to end their life. You know, it just puts you to a screeching halt. And so I kept getting this mental picture, and I just felt like the Lord kept telling me about it is self-mutilation, and we are bowing down, bowing to the altar of shame and guilt. And we are just constantly beating ourselves up. Like, I am terrible. I can't believe I did that. I am such a, you know, I can never get it right. And we are putting so much worship and praise to our sin.
It's pride.
Yeah. And in a lot of ways, it kind of is. I can see that. But it's like, for Judas, it drove him to end his life. And what would have happened if he would have trusted? He walked with Jesus. He saw Jesus do so many miracles, heal and stand up for this woman, Mary Magdalene, who was freed from demonic oppression, possession, and healed, and how he stood up for her. And yet he saw this firsthand and still did not believe that it was available to him. He did not believe that God's goodness, his mercy, and his grace was available to him.
I often think about what is the real difference between Peter and Judas? I mean, we've had this discussion before, mm-hmm. but one denies him.
Yeah.
The other one turns him in. It's like this, you see this dichotomy, these two different things. Mm-hmm. And then all of a sudden, you know, Judas hangs himself.
Yeah.
And then Jesus, you know, the death happens, the resurrection happens. Mm-hmm. And Jesus finds Peter, and he makes him declare mm-hmm. that he loves him three times. Mm-hmm. Do you love me? Well, of yeah. course, you know it. It's because of that confession. It's yeah. like the power of the tongue.
Yes.
And confessing, yes, I love you. Mm.
And you know what? Saying that, Peter didn't even believe in what he was saying. When Jesus asked Peter, do you love me? When Jesus asked him, do you love? The love that he was asking Peter was like, do you agape love
right,
me?
Right.
And Peter responds with phileo love. Like, yeah, I love you like a friend. I love you like a brother. And Jesus is like, do you love me? Three times Jesus asks him, do you love me? And three times he says, feed my sheep. He is reinstating Peter every single yeah. time. Feed my sheep. If you love me, feed my sheep. I'll take your weak love. I'll take you where you're at. Come as you are. If that's all you have to give me, I will take it because I know your heart. I know you're willing.
Yeah.
And the same thing he did for Peter, he would have done for Judas.
Yeah. And if you flip the Bible one book, he's preaching at Pentecost.
Mm-hmm.
You know? And that's the difference.
It's the difference between trusting in the Lord's mercy, even if you're weakly trusting. Okay, so Jesus said, Peter, do you love me? Then feed my sheep. Yeah. Well, how many times does Jesus want? He wants to reinstate us. He went to Peter, you know, to restore him. Because even before Peter betrayed Jesus. He said, and when you, because he said, Peter, Satan has asked to sift you as wheat. And when you come back, when you are restored, go back and strengthen your brother.
Yep. He said it.
That is so good. That's so good.
That is a direct, that shows you exactly what Jesus feels like about us when we fall short and when we make mistakes. He's like, listen, you know, it's the same It's Gideon, mighty man of valor.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
He's ready to reinstate us. He's ready to say, get back in the game.
Yeah.
You know, it's like when your kid's playing a soccer game and they get hurt and they fall down and they got a skinned knee. You're like, it's okay. Are you okay? Okay. Get back in the game. Get back in the game.
He's the game's not the best over. He's calling out the best in us.
He is not expecting us to do this with perfection. He's expecting us to do it with him. He wants us to partner with him. Yeah. It was Peter felt like he was disqualified because he denied Jesus. He denied him.
Yeah.
And because he felt disqualified, he went back to the very thing Jesus called him out of, fishing.
Yeah.
He called him out of fishing already, and he had called him to be a fisher of
men.
And so Peter ended up returning right back to what God called him out of. That's my daughter back there. I don't know if you caught a glimpse of her. Hey, boo. Oh, she's getting her midnight snack. She's like, my kids are like raccoons. They got to get their little midnight their midnight snackeries. Yeah. But anyways, you know, you like that story of Peter? You like that? I mean? She's like, Mom, don't you dare call me over there. I got my bonnet on. I'm not doing this with you. I'm trying to get my
Nick and Corey do Passion of the Christ.
No, she better be watching us. You watching us up there? You better be. You better be showing me some love. Anyways, but that's what I love about the story. And the story is like, you know, and you shared about the son watching the father.
Right.
Peter watching Jesus was going through, watching the trial, because after the rooster crowed the third time, Jesus looked right at him.
Yeah.
Like that. Ooh. He looked right at him after. And Peter, it's like Peter ran.
He's like, where are my fishing nets? I left those somewhere. I know I left those somewhere over here.
Ooh, knife to the heart.
Yeah.
Because it was like, I told you this was going to happen. Yeah. But also remember the second half of what I said.
Right.
I said Satan has asked to sift you as wheat. Pray that your faith will not fail.
No way. I'll never do that.
Right. And you, right. We all said it. We said it as parents. My kids will never do. Yeah. Okay. Whatever. Just take the helicopter to Cuba. Anything. Just go to bed. But, you know. And that was so the whole beautiful thing, is that Jesus was eager to reinstate Peter and say, and have that conversation with him. It's so beautiful. So let that be a reminder to you that God is longing to reinstate you. Don't think you're disqualified. Don't throw in the towel. Don't say, oh, I'm never going to get it right, because it's not by your might. It's not by your power. It's by his spirit. And we're so focused on trying to make this work on our own, just like Peter and just like Jesus. He said, Peter, pray that your faith will not fail. Well, if you don't want your faith to fail and our faith is failing, we're not praying.
Yeah.
If our faith is failing, it's because we're not praying and we're not delving into who God is. God, who are you? And I mean, think about this. You had these men walking with Jesus and still could not, like, they still didn't know him.
Yeah.
They still didn't know him. Like, Jesus had to rebuke Peter a couple times.
Yeah.
You know? And so it's amazing how much God is for us. He's not against you. He's for you.
And he realizes it's a process.
It's a process. It's half the time. I don't know how I'm gonna stay saved and married with 10 children and doing a podcast.
You know,
he's like, you know, please stop. I think I embarrass him. He always said that when we're out at Walmart. Keep your voice down.
I think you're pretty cute.
Go ahead. What were you saying?
No, it's like, to me, it's like, we're like the 3-year-old doing the dishes.
Yeah.
and they're just like doing the dishes and dropping them and breaking them, and you just hear shattering. And then you know, mom walks in the room and says, "Hey, mom, look, I'm helping with the dishes."
Our kids don't do that. They do get dishes perfectly. Or when they make the Mother's Day or Father's Day meal, and you're just like, ketchup with scrambled eggs. That's so good. But
that's really us with God. And he's like, yeah, you're doing the dishes. Good. Let's get to the broom. And, you know.
You know, it was funny because today I was real. Oh, my gosh. This podcast is teaching me about that a lot because I get so discouraged. Okay, I get discouraged when the audio doesn't come out right. I get discouraged when I spend all this time setting all this up, and then I'm like, I go to upload something, and I'm like, oh my gosh, this doesn't sound right. And then I'm like, you know what? I'm done. I cannot get this right. I suck at this. I'm just being real, and I just want to give up. I'm like, this is not for me. And I swear, God's always like, he's really breaking me of giving up and feeling defeated. And he's just like, you know, it's like I can – this morning I felt the shift. You begin to feel the shift happening in your life when situations and circumstances that you've gone through – oh, you give me a Coca-Cola? Thank you. She gave me the Coca-Cola. That's love right there. What else you got over there? You made a whole thing. Oh, my gosh. She drank a Coca-Cola out of a wine glass. Come say hi to the listeners.
Look at this girl.
Look at this. This is my boo right here. Look at – she got a whole – I hope you send me some of that chicken teriyaki. Man. But anyways, that's my boo. Anyways, I got lots of boos. I felt the shift this morning. You know, you're starting to make gains when circumstances that you've gone through before, like say you make a mistake.
No, you wouldn't do that.
I barely make mistakes, but those slim times that I do. So this morning, when I was starting to make my thumbnail for the podcast that we did yesterday, I was listening to the thing and I just felt like the Lord's like, are you going to pick that up? Are you going to pick up that guilt? Are you going to pick any of those feelings up, feeling defeated and discouraged? Are you going to pick that up? You're just going to brush it off. And those things can be heavy weights where you're just like, oh, it can ruin a whole day. It can ruin your whole day where you're just like, forget it. And I began to feel the shift when I felt that the Lord speak to me in the midst of it. How often do we feel the Lord speaking to us in the midst of our shame, in the midst of our guilt? That is why so many of us are walking around confused. I don't know what God's calling me to. I don't know what he's – we mistake his character. We mistake his – okay? I'm glad she must be prophetic because I needed this.
This podcast is sponsored by Coke. Coca-Cola.
Anytime, boo. Coca-Cola, you want to come and hit me up? I got you. Okay.
Yeah, you don't drink soda when you're live on the air.
I need like a little sizzle. Usually right. I drink sparkling water, yeah. But I got to hit up Sam's. And anyways, see how – got me off on a tangent and everything. Everything. Guys, what was I talking about?
You was talking about how this morning when you were doing the podcast. Oh, yes. So, crazy girl.
God.
You see what I got to deal with?
Stop. I'm trying to get my ministry going. Okay. Snap diddly umptious.
The joy of the Lord is our strength.
Is our strength all the way. But this is why we walk around feeling confused and muddled and not knowing the nature of God, not knowing his character. We're not reading scripture. We're just expecting some kind of epiphany to come and hit us on the head, or we're just scrolling, hoping something's going to come and encourage us. But we really need to eat of the word of God and see how did God respond in situations where, like, how long did it take for the Israelites to go into captivity? Like, we're so focused on, oh my gosh, God's going to, you know, he's going to bring judgment. He's going to bring it swiftly. But how long, how many generations of disobedience did it take before God brought justice?
Yeah.
And how many warnings came? It's not like every time you make a mistake, God's ready to pound a fist at you. How long did it take? See, we really need to read the word and see how long did it take before. And then even in the midst of the judgment coming to that nation, how did he respond? It was always, come back to me.
Yeah.
Come back to me and I will heal you. Call to me and I will answer you.
I'm still your husband.
I'm ready. Why did he call Hosea to marry Gomer? Right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Gomer. And kept telling him, go get her. Every time she would run off, you know, God would tell Hosea, go get her, go get her, go get her. And it was so that Israel had a visual display of of how much he was pursuing them. God is pursuing you.
Yeah.
Let the walls come down. We're so like guarded up and we're living on edge, and every mistake we make and everything we do, we're just like, instead of us, it keeps us from truly repenting. We're not fully repenting because of the shame and the guilt. We're beating ourselves up and we're staying stuck in the sin. God is like, no, I'm throwing your sin as far as the east is from the west. I'm trying to get that away from you so that we can move forward. Forget about the past. What's that verse? Isaiah 43.
Isaiah 43. I'm calling it the Isaiah 43 command.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that mandate. It's like forgetting. Can you look up that verse?
Yeah.
So I can get it right. Right. I'll have you read it too. Oh my gosh. I'm over here skating in my chair. Oh Lord. Okay. See, I would edit all this out, but it's like, for what? But anyways, you know, God is calling us to, he's going to read it so we get it right verbatim. I think it's 43:11, yeah, I want to say. Here we go. You got it? No.
Not yet.
Okay. 19 maybe? Oh, there it is.
Yeah.
Okay, go ahead. I'll let you read it.
Yeah, no. The Isaiah 43 mandate is, do not remember the former things. What?
Do not remember the former things.
Do not. Should I remember the former things?
Don't remember it.
But I was thinking about remembering.
Nope. Forget it.
Okay, I'll forget it.
But I won't forget it. But he will.
I forgive it, but
if you forget to do the dishes after I ask you to do them, I'm gonna remember it. But I'm not God, and I'm working on it. I'm trying to get there.
When God says something like, do not remember former things, what he's really saying is, I don't remember former things, so why should you?
Yeah. He's ready to move on.
Dude, move on. I have a plan. He's saying, I have a plan for you. I have a plan for you. And your guilt and the shame that you're agreeing with is getting in the way. Let's get past it.
And you know the level of guilt and shame that you're stuck in when every time you make a mistake, how do you respond? Does that stay with you the whole day? And you're like, well, it's like you're playing the Super Mario Brothers and I got to wait to hit, you know, reset. Like
I
me
just
and my
throw
brother,
the control or something.
Shoot, me and my brother would be battling. Like, nope, I got to start this game over because I made a mistake. I didn't get the mushroom. I got to get the mushroom. Yeah. If I don't get the mushroom, it's going to eat away at me. So
43:18.
Yeah.
Don't remember the former things. Then what does 19 say?
Go ahead.
I'm doing a new thing.
Yeah.
We're moving on.
And now it shall spring. It says, behold, I will do a new thing. Now it shall spring forth. Shall you not know it? This is a question he's asking. Shall you not know it because you're so focused on your past? I will even make a road in the wilderness and rivers in the desert. Meaning he is going to make a way for you.
Yeah.
In the midst of what I don't, your plans, your mistakes is not going to hinder what he's going to do. If you're in the wilderness, he's going to make streams for you. If you're standing in front of a mountain, he's going to tell you to move it. It don't matter.
Yeah.
With him, all things are possible. And we're so busy staying stuck in our sin. And, you know, I always like it. I remember one time I was changing my baby's diaper and I threw it. It was a full blowout diaper. And I was like, never once. And how many times do you parents out there see your baby with a full, you know, a diaper? It doesn't even have to be a blowout diaper. You just catch a whiff and you're like, oh my gosh, we got to clean you up. That's how God feels. He's not looking at you like, oh, you're disgusting. I will never look at my baby and say, you are so nasty. How dare you use the bathroom in your diaper? I know he's going to use the bathroom. I expect it. I anticipate it. That's why I buy diapers. That's why I buy wipes. That's why we have soap and extra clothes for those really bad ones. Yeah. But God knows. He anticipates the sin, the mistakes we're going to make, and he's ready. Always ready. Go ahead. Pull that basket out. Pull the basket out. Always ready and willing to cleanse us and purify us. I'm ready for it. I'm ready for it. You got a dirty diaper? I'm ready. Right. How many mistakes you going to make today? I got you, boo. I got you. And this ain't the only pack I got. And no, this ain't all Sam's we got. Pack. No.
God. Is it safe to say that the diaper of humanity was the cross?
Yeah.
That was. He's like, I'm gonna clean you up.
Yeah.
That's it. And then he's over and over. Yes,
he knows. He knows what we're going to do. And he's right there with the diaper and the wipes. Mm-hmm. He's like, you sin. You're not. We don't disgust him. It's our sin that disgusts him. And that's why he says he's throw it away. Forget about it. Toss it into the sea of forgetfulness, because he's invested in you. He says he who has begun a good work will complete it until the day he comes. He is committed to your progress. He's not disgusted by you. He's not ready to talk about you, talk bad about you behind your back to your friends. Like, oh my gosh, can you believe? No, he's not like that.
If you're watching this and you don't even know Christ, right now is the time. Mm-hmm. Right now is the time to say, God, I need you in my life to get forgiven, to get cleaned up for that. If you are Muslim and you have stumbled upon this, right now is the time to know that there is a God that doesn't make you earn it, that you don't have to walk around not dirty. You know what I mean? Make no mistakes. You're stepping on landmines. There's a God that loves you.
Yeah.
There's a God that paid a price for you. There is a God that cares about you. This goes to all religions.
There is a
God who loves you, who loved you enough to become a human and die.
Yes.
And so if there is anybody out there who is not,
that's good.
Who's not like,
I never even thought, yeah.
You know what I mean?
That invitation.
Come on. Like shame, guilt. You want to talk about shame and guilt.
And the byways.
These other religions out there in the world.
Now. Yes.
There's these other religions out there in the world that literally it's almost like they prey on guilt and shame.
Yeah. Well, you know, there's that I believe it's Muslim holiday. Well, I don't know if it's a holiday, but where they literally beat themselves bloody in penance for the sins that they've done all year. I mean, literally, they're
it's like
just,
somebody already took that beating for you. If you're listening to this, it's for you. Mm-hmm. It's for you. It's a free gift of salvation. And so our prayer is that anybody that has stumbled upon this, you were watching, you know, Nick and Corey, or you were watching, you know, was it Sienna Kendall? Whatever you watch.
What's that? Where they eat the crab legs? Maybe we should do that. Maybe we should do a live while we are eating.
Like the hot wings
just
guy.
Just sit there and just. Yeah, but
you know what I mean?
I don't know how we got there.
Guys, if you stumbled upon this, the Lord is there for you. The Lord has offered a payment for your sin. And so anybody out there, man, can I just like take 1 second and just pray a prayer of salvation? And if you're out there and you haven't accepted the Lord, right now is the time. Just pray with me. Say, Father.
Mm-hmm. Father.
I know I'm a sinner.
I know I'm a sinner.
And I know that you have already paid the price for me. So I confess my sins to you. I confess with my mouth. And I believe in my heart that you are the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And I accept you into my life.
Change.
And I'm a new creation.
Yes.
The old things have passed away. And behold, I am a new creation. I have been born again.
And we repent.
We just repent for all of our sin, Lord. And we trust that you came and you died for my sin and you took on flesh and you bore the cross for my sin. And much more than that. Much more than that. The sin is the least of it. After that is a life and life more abundantly. And so, Father, we just accept you into our hearts. And if you just prayed that prayer, please comment. We want to get you hooked up with a Bible. We want to get you hooked up with a church wherever you are.
Pray for you. Pray, we want to pray with you. Pray with you individually for sure.
Amen.
Yeah. You know, that's the beauty. We are sinners in need of a Savior. We need his salvation the same way our baby needs us to change his diaper. He is dependent on us. And we would never look at him with shame and want him to feel guilty for using, you know, for using the bathroom. You know, we live in a fallen world. We live in a cursed world. And it's the shame and the guilt that's going to keep us in sin. Because you know what? What does shame and guilt cause you to do? Cause you to go deeper and deeper in the sin. And it, right, because he and I, we watched this movie, our daughter, the one that you guys just saw. She's like, well, you guys should see this one. I'm like, I saw the preview or the cover and I was like, Azalea, I don't want to. This is going to do something to my heart, but whatever. We went ahead and watched it because she really wanted us to watch it. It's called Beautiful Boy, and it's all about the story. It's a true story of this teenager that starts spiraling into addiction. And the one thing he keeps telling his dad is that he wants his father to be proud of him. And he keeps misunderstanding, misinterpreting the way his father looks at him, the way his father talks to him. He's just looking at things through such a skewed, broken lens because he knows the drug abuse that he's doing. He knows how deep it is, how deep the addiction is. His dad didn't know how bad it was at the time. And yet, and this is, it was the shame and the guilt that was just eating away at him, that was causing him to try harder drugs, that was causing him to keep relapsing because he, it, and that's what shame and guilt does. It keeps you, it gets you, okay, I'm starting to make progress. And then boom, you make a mistake. And now you're going to take, use harder drugs, drink the whole bottle this time. You know what I mean? It causes you to get even deeper and deeper into the sin. And that's why I believe God is wanting to break his people out of it. And I know for me, this has been an ongoing process. And I feel the Lord stripping. And I know I feel it because when there would be situations that would ruin my entire day, that would, it's changing the way I pray. You know you're starting to break free from it. And look, deliverance can happen like that. Or sometimes it's a process. It's a journey. And you know that you're breaking free because your prayers are starting to change. You're not praying and a begging like a beggar. You're starting to pray with authority. You're starting to pray like you have something in your bank account.
You know, it reminds me of just this. I've had this like thought before. So we have a house with, we have 10 kids and four of them are teens. And we come home with Sam's Club, you know, and just throw it all in the pantry, throw it when we fill up the fridge.
Imagine that, Bill.
And you know what they have the audacity to do? They have the audacity to come in, pop open my fridge, grab whatever they want out of our fridge, and then invite their friends over. Their friends come over, pop open our fridge, grab whatever they want, and walk away.
All that Chobani yogurt's gone in a day,
and you
like
wanna,
a hurricane.
And you want to know what kind of goes through my head is like, yeah, you're my son. You're my daughter. Mm-hmm. You have access to what is mine. Right. That's for you.
As long as y'all don't waste it.
Right, right. Now, my little ones, they'll like eat half of it and leave it out. So that's a problem. But you know what I mean? Like, mm-hmm. we need to get that teen mindset where it's like we go into God's kitchen, open up the fridge, and grab what we need.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because he said, there's that verse in the Bible that says, the kingdom of heaven suffers violence and the violent take it by force. That's how them teens be taking that food.
Take it by force. Take it by force. Give me your wallet by force.
No, does that make sense?
Yes.
Yeah.
Absolutely. So I'm going to go ahead and walk us through. Just come out of agreement with whatever sin is keeping you bound to feeling shame and guilt. Because see, the thing is that when we sin, we are, everything in heaven is legal. Okay. He had brought up a story in our last episode about Joshua the high priest, and Satan was standing next to him bringing all these accusations. And the accusations were true because Joshua's garments were dirty. And Jesus was, our God was saying,
dirty garments.
Yeah.
We just talked about it.
Yeah. Dirty garments. And God was, and God was standing next to him like, no, he had the garments ready. Like, no, I got clean ones for you. Don't worry. Don't even worry about it, boo. And put a clean turban on his head. And, you know, so the thing is that when we sin, we open the door for the enemy to bring accusations against us. The way we close it is we repent of it. We repent of our sin. Amen. And we come out of agreement with it. When I had an abortion years ago, for 8 years, I lived with under a constant state of a slave mentality, like begging prayers, like, God, I know I'm terrible. God said in his word to come boldly into his presence with thanksgiving, you know, come boldly, ask into the throne of grace. Calls it a throne of grace, not a throne of judgment, a throne of grace. Come boldly to the throne of grace and ask. Oh, maybe I should look up that verse. just look it up. Watch. Thank you. They don't hear us if we whisper. To come boldly to his throne of grace that we can receive mercy and grace or receive help in our time of need. I don't want to ruin the verse, but.
Yeah. NIV, let us then approach God's throne of grace with confidence so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help us in our time of need.
Boom. That's the thing right there, is to receive grace and to help us in our time of need.
New King James is let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace. But yes. He doesn't say timidly, and he doesn't say questioning like, oh man, I wonder if God really wants.
Doubting.
Right.
Don't come doubting that you're going to receive grace. Don't come doubting you're going to receive mercy. Come boldly to receive.
Yeah,
to receive help in his time. You know I got 5 second memory. Yeah. He says to come, let us. Oh. Bloopers. Coming at you live. Okay. He said, let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. He has everything we need to help us in our time of need, not to condemn us, not to shame us, not to throw guilt at us, to help us in our time of need. Why? Because he's committed to our success, to our growth, to our process. So join with me. We're going to go ahead and come out of agreement. Like I shared, when I had an abortion, when God delivered me from that, I had to name it specifically. I had to see the sin for what it was. It's not like I was not wanting to, but I had to really come to the realization of the beauty of the cross. It wasn't that he wanted me to really dive deep into it to shame me, but it was to heal me. You know, it was like when the Israelites were getting attacked by the snakes, the poisonous serpents. You remember that story? And God, they went to Moses and they were like, tell God we're sorry, we repent. And then God, you know, Moses went ahead and, or God told Moses, go ahead and make a bronze snake and that they can look into the eyes. God was wanting them to look into the eyes of the serpent that bit them. And I don't remember if it was like a statue that he made out of it, but it was basically face the fear. So that the very thing that was biting the Israelites and injecting poison into them, God was like, look into their eyes and you will be healed. And so that's what they would do. They had to look into the eyes of the serpent. To this day,
that is actually the medical.
Yeah, like, that's like funny.
The symbol of medical field.
Yeah. So it's important that we come out of agreement with the sin. And it's, again, it's not like, how dare you? And the opposite that people tend to do too is when they sin and they can't carry the guilt and the shame of it anymore, what do? They begin to glory in it, take ownership of it. They revel in the pride of it. Mm. Because they're like, well, I'm not going to be able to overcome it. I can't live with the guilt of it. I can't live with the shame with it. And now look at what we have. We have an explosion of homosexuality and what do they call it? Pride. And they celebrate it. They celebrate the debauchery. Why? Because they don't want to live with the shame of it. And we're not called to live with the shame, but we are called to come out of the sin, come out of the shame. So where there's sin, there's shame. Where there's sin, there's guilt. So repent of it. God wants you to repent of it and turn around. That's it. Repentance doesn't mean you say it. Repentance is an action.
Yeah.
And we keep thinking repentance just means saying we're sorry. No, that is a verb. It's an action.
It's he wants us to do a journey.
Yes.
It can be a lot of things. But, you know, mm-hmm. if you're out there saying, well, struggling with homosexuality or identity issues, it can be a journey, mm-hmm. you know. It's not just a action sometimes, but and Lord knows it's a process where he's ready to walk us through it. So,
all right. My glasses are getting tight, so I don't know why. Anyways, so go ahead and give me that verse because I'm going to pray that. But, all right. Heavenly Father, we acknowledge that you are the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Our sin isn't our shame, our mistakes. None of that is Lord of our life. Our sin and our shame and our guilt is not going to lead us. And Father, we ask that you forgive us. Forgive us for building altars to shame and guilt and mutilating our hearts, thinking that this is humility, thinking that this is pleasing to you. This is an incense to you when it is not. You want our eyes focused on you. You want us to, yes, repent and say sorry, but you want us to turn from the sin, not stay stuck in it and go deeper into it. And sin and guilt will, and shame will just, is like quicksand. It takes us deeper and deeper into it. Father, you said in your word to come boldly into your throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Lord, we ask that you would take us deeper and deeper and deeper and deeper into the knowledge of your mercy and your grace. Give us an understanding. Unlock the key. Unlock the realm to our mind to fully understand what that looks like, how that is available to us, how we can obtain that, how we can walk it out, how we can live out a life that shows grace and mercy. Because it is hard for us to give grace and mercy when we don't even know how to receive it. And it affects us displaying the love of Jesus to those around us. Father, help us. You said to come boldly and we will find help in our time of need. Lord, change our minds, change our mindset, rewire the structures in our brain that is causing us to err on the side of guilt and shame instead of mercy and grace. Father, we thank you that your truth sets us free. And we just ask, Father, that you cleanse us with this truth. Yeah. Cleanse us with the truth of who you are. Cleanse us with the truth that you are a God that delights in mercy, that you are slow to get angry. Just as 2 Corinthians talks about love, and it says God is love, and love is patient, it is kind, it is not boastful, it does not rejoice when we do wrong. It always hopes, it always endures, it always believes. Love never fails. Father, we ask that you would instill and pour your love into us, into every fiber of our being, Lord. May we be children that reflect the love of the Father, the mercy of the Father, the grace of the Father. May we radiate, may we be radiant as we look to you with unashamed faces. May we glow with freedom. You long for your people to be free. And so we just speak to every soul and spirit out there in Jesus' name that is oppressed under the weight of shame, that is oppressed under the weight of guilt. And we just command your spirits to be set free in Jesus' name. Let my people go so that they may worship me. That is your heart, God, that your people will be set free so that they will be free to worship you, to see you, to experience you, to delight in you, not be afraid of you, but to have the fear of the Lord, but not be afraid of you, to delight in your word. Open up our spiritual senses in Jesus' name so that we let the veil be rend. Let the veil be rend in Jesus' name. Amen. Father, you said on the cross that it is finished. Amen. And so I declare the finished works of Christ over every single mind, including mine and my husband's and our children. Father, I pray that we would all hear you declare from your heavenly throne again, it is finished. Let my people go. Let them go from sin or from shame and from guilt in Jesus' name so that they will step into mercy and grace and into their identity, into their inheritance, into their destiny, into their calling in Jesus' mighty name. And if you receive that, say amen, type amen. And we want to hear all the things. Guys, follow me on my socials because I am doing a 21-day challenge. I was listening to a doctor who, a Christian doctor, who was sharing about, is pretty remarkable actually, the difference of what it does to your brain when you speak the word of God to yourself, how it completely renews your mind. So she said you will see a complete turnaround in 21 days. So that's why I'm doing the 21-day challenge. That's where that number came from. And I will be sharing 21 truths, 21 declarations, 21 prayers every single day. Lord, pray for me because that seems pretty daunting for me. So look out for that. We're going to do this together because I was like, when I heard it, I was getting fired up. I was like, I want to do this and I wanted to extend the invitation to you so we can do this mano y mano together. Anyways, we're doing it.
Heck yeah.
And so y'all hop on that train. But anyways, if this has been a blessing to you and you're listening on YouTube, like, comment, subscribe. If you're listening on Spotify or Apple iTunes, hit that follow button so that you can stay abreast on all the latest episodes. And until next time, I love you guys. I really do, even though I don't know you by name. But continue to rebuild your ruins. All right, guys. You guys have a good night, good morning, whatever time you're listening. And I am noticing that the table is shaking. Hopefully.